The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know, it's a quite dreadful scene, I think. I mean, for me, reliving a memory of 2 days ago when I was in charge of picking a team for a Thanksgiving football game. And it was the dread of, you know, who are you going to choose and when was thick in the air. You know, you could cut the tension with a knife, as they say. It's a dreadful thing to be sorted out, isn't it? Okay, you already did it though, right? This is the right, and sorry, this is my left. But who's the king, and where is he coming from? Do you know this is an interesting question itself. So, who's on the right and who's on the left? Perhaps we'll play that game a little bit as we go. But there are many challenges contained in this passage, and I think. It's one of those passages that is ripe to bring forth the fruit of meditation, of sincere and vulnerable and humble prayer. What do I mean? I mean, we can come before God in the quiet, perhaps seclusion of our own room with this passage, Matthew 25. It's in Matthew 25, and allow him to do a lot of good work in us so as to, say, confront the hardness of our heart, to really invade our lives with his grace and with his strength and have us live more totally towards him and his purposes. This is the passage that does, it can do a lot of that work. So I'm recommending it to you for a little bit of, say, I don't want to say extra credit, you know, because we get this sense. I don't give the sense that I'm grading. You know, it's a bit of a tough one in light of this passage that feels like, you know, the big examination that's being graded, the examination of our lives. Okay, but there's more than meets the eye there. Okay, let me start this way. Yeah, let me start. I'm sorry. I have two starting places. I don't know really which one. Okay. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to pray about it as we go. Okay. Let's start with more of a surface kind of evaluation, something that we could pick up as we just read through the passage. Look at the response of the two different groups of people. Yeah? So the first group, what is the response when the master, right, the king, this is Jesus, says, when I was hungry, you fed me, and the like. They say, when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? Okay, now listen to the other group. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison or whatever, and who cares and whatever, right? This is the read of the second group of people. Like the first, there's a kind of delicate curiosity, right? There's a real sincerity. Well, when did we see you in need and minister to you? And the second is like, well, what are you talking about? When did we see you this, that, and the other thing and not do what you needed, right? So there's already some, you can already tell, like in the passage, there's a massive difference between the groups, even as it relates to, say, the simple taste of charity, you know, the taste of love. Sometimes I'm eager to separate those words, right? I talk about charity, I talk about love, I talk about generosity, and I'll use them relatively interchangeably. For me, it's the case. Yeah, charity, self-giving, charity, generosity, radical generosity, love, the rest. And I feel like I just have to mix it up because people get tired of me saying love. And then we think of love, 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 and it's all mushy and it's Hallmark and it's whatever, okay? This is not the case with love. Love is the hardest thing in the world. Yeah, love is one of the renderings of a particular part of scriptures that I love is stern as death is love. Stern as death is love. Well, of course, there's only one force that has ever conquered death, and it is love. Okay? Now, here in the passage, you can say, who is meeting the demands of love? And these the demands of love are quite practical, are they not? Here in this passage. Yeah, it's feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, it's clothing the naked, visiting the ill, the imprisoned, the rest. Okay, these are what we've come to know in our tradition as the corporal works of mercy. Very significant because they're corporal, because they're bodily. They're bodily in two ways. One is that they're caring for the needs of the body of someone else. But secondly, because it's us in our bodies caring for the needs of other people in their bodies. Yeah, this is very significant. There's a whole reflection on the resurrection to be done there, but I'm not gonna do it. Okay, this is because the homily is going to be long enough. As you well know, that would make it about three times as long. Okay, so I'm going to withdraw a little bit on that point, but this is it, okay? One group is meeting the practical demands of love, and one group is not. And amazingly enough, you can hear it in the way that they speak to the king. Okay, so in this sense, don't think for one minute that you're getting away with anything, okay? Because what we do and what we don't do changes who we are. Yeah, it changes who we are. In such manner that what we do and what we don't do is reflected in everything else. What we say and what we don't say, what we think and what we don't think. Okay, so usually we think of it as, no, actually, it's thought to words to deeds. But it can work the other way around as well. Okay, so if you want, say, a jumping off point in this homily, really like a getting off the train point in this homily, this is one of them, is to say, I have to be attentive to the practical demands of love. Okay, so that's okay. Let's leave that one aside. That's the minor point, by the way, of what's going on in this passage. What's going on in this passage is, sorry guys. What's going on in this passage is actually the judgment of nations. There's a very rich scriptural and exegetical tradition of the judgment of nations. What we see in the scriptures is Israel. Okay, Israel living to their call. So they're living to their call to be a renewed people who are bringing the world into the kingdom, God's kingdom of holiness and justice. They live as a renewing force in the world. Okay, so Israel lives as the antidote to man's fall. Okay, so where man has fallen and you have the incursion into the world of idolatry and injustice, now in Israel, the world is supposed to be put to rights. So they're focusing on that, yeah? As they're focusing on that, they're being abused, okay, by the nations around them. And what we see then is God judges the nations by how they interact with his chosen people. Now, look at what is said in here, the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is saying, these two groups of people, really it's the nations again, are judged by how they have treated, what does he say, the least of these, or these least brothers of mine. Okay, and already by this point in Matthew's gospel, he has said, those who do the will of my heavenly Father are my brothers and sisters. Okay, that's the connection here. So what Jesus is saying is, here, we have two, by the way, look, we have two groups of people, and we can say, we can put them as nations. I want to do that for an extended homily. You can start praying now to Jesus, to the King of the universe, that I don't indulge that if you don't want it. Or you can pray the other way, and then we'll do the right and the left thing again. I will say, if you want the longer homily, you have to sit on the right. Okay. So here's the challenge. Okay. Not now Israel as the center of God's renewal and his judgment, justice, but Jesus and his followers. Okay, so again, Jesus' followers as the new Israel, living to the call of God. That this is the least of these, or the least brothers. Yeah, in this passage, you have two groups of people. You might not, did you pick up on this? You have two groups of people who don't know the king. There are two groups of people who don't know the king. And they are judged then on how they treat the brothers of the king. Okay, so we know the king. We're his brothers. Right? We are sons and daughters of God in the Son of God. Okay, so Jesus has brought us into the relationship that he has by rights with God the Father in the Holy Spirit. We're brought into that as his brothers. We are, as they say, sons in the Son. We're sons and daughters in the Son of God. So we're his brothers. And again, the determining characteristic of our being his brothers is doing the will of God, doing the will of the Father. Okay? Then we live to our call as those who do the will of the Father. We are working the renewal of creation. We're allowing God to work the renewal of creation in us and through us. And then how, can I say, our then assessment will be based on our trusting and following Jesus in all things. And we will also reveal Jesus to people who do not know him. And they will be judged by how they interact with us, by how they treat us. So now you start to think, okay, well, yeah, I'm in my, a lot of enemies out there. They're all damned, you know, boo-hoo, you know, boo-hoo for all my enemies, you know, they're all damned. Well, it doesn't exactly work that way, does it? Because if we're doing the will of God, if we are trusting and following Jesus in all things at all times, then we are embodying the love of God for the other, which means that we can never find ourselves in a position where we're rejoicing over someone else's destruction or condemnation. And as soon as we are, that should be a sign that we have to come back to the king and trust and follow him, allow him to lead us anew and aright, because we're steering off course. Yeah, so I could say, okay, look, we take the passage and all the demands that are in the passage, right? All the moral demands that we think surface in the passage. And I can say to you, actually, many of them don't apply to us. In a strict sense, we don't have to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and the rest. Although I would say, parentheses, those are very good things to do. We probably should be doing them. Okay, but as it relates to the passage, we don't have to be doing them. That's not our task. But our task is more serious still. Our task is to be Jesus. Our task is to be Jesus. So yeah, okay, the great thing for us is it's not by our strength, our own strength, our wisdom, our grace, that we get to be Jesus. It's by the call of Christ himself. And on the day that we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, right, it's ours simply to give him the total allegiance of our hearts and our lives. Yeah, it's to entrust ourselves to him whole and entire, knowing that precisely because he has called us, and he's the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all the rest, precisely because he has called us, he also is going to equip us for the task. He didn't make a mistake when he called you. Yeah, it might feel like that with some frequency, right? It might feel like, you know, we're out in among the goats because we're not recognizing Jesus and we're not doing terribly well with the demands of love. Yeah, but he did not make a mistake when he called you. And he called you into the renewal movement that he wants to effect in the world that will not simply pass you by or churn you up and spit you out. He wants the renewal of his entire creation. But more than anything, he wants the renewal of your heart and your mind and your life and all the rest, right? He wants your renewal whole and entire. He loves you so. The King of the universe has called you into existence. He's called you to trust and follow him, and he's giving you every good gift that you need in order to do it, in order to see it through. Yeah, so it's ours then to be that people today, to be the people dedicated to Christ the King today, to be the people dedicated to going his way, which is the way of trust and love. Yeah, it's the way of that and service. Yeah, and we're going to live that out to the end, such that when our friends and the rest, you know, all the people around us who don't know Jesus, when they come to know him at the time of his visitation, when they come to know him at the time of his appearing to them, they will recognize us in him and him in us. Do you know? Because we would have been faithful witnesses to him, to his love, to his rule, yes, to his majesty, to his goodness, to his life of humble service. This is all ours. This is the empowering and the invigorating grace that God himself, that Jesus now is breathing out into us, so that we can be renewed truly from the depths on out, and that the world also might be renewed through us.